Okay, let's turn our Bibles now to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And as we think of, as I was thinking about what the Lord would have us think about tonight, I am reminded of some verses in the Bible. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, in the Bible, describing the Christian life in Romans chapter 1, there is quite a statement about our Christian life that describes living for the Lord. And it says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. The source of our new life is faith in the promises, the provision of God through Jesus Christ. And so we are saved out of faith, the great life, and now it is a life of continuous faith. And every day in our life is an opportunity to exercise faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation. There's a repentance of sin, but that's just the beginning. Christian life is a life of repentance. We start the Christian life in faith. Now the Christian life is continued every day in faith. And as we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a great example of faith tonight that we want to look at. I trust that it can be a encouragement to you. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there's a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. Unto Elijah saying, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And so in Elisha's college of prophets, this woman's husband was one of the men studying there and serving the Lord. Now he's dead. And she is left with her with her sons. And they don't have any money, and now someone is going to take them and take the sons and put them into servitude until they pay off the debts. The Bible says, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. As we think of this great miracle, great provision, the great work of God that God did for this lady, we are reminded of another great principles about faith that are illustrated in this passage of Scripture. First of all, we see the expectancy of the source of faith being the expectancy from right living. The source of faith, the expectancy that comes from right living. Now, think of the time, it's time of apostasy. And in the time of apostasy, most of Israel was following Baal. Most of Israel had gone their own way. Most of Israel, to them, Elisha and Elijah were laughing stocks. But not in this family. In this family, the man and his wife, they chose to serve the Lord. They chose to identify with Elisha. They chose to identify with the God of Israel. And they faithfully served God, even though it was laughed at, even though it was uncommon, even though they were kind of like the rare birds, even though they were maybe the oddballs, maybe they were the few rather than the many. But you know, it came to a time that life went on, and in life there's many realities, and one of them was death. And the husband died, and now the wife is left with the two sons, and the creditor has come because they didn't have any means of income, and it's a very difficult day. What are they going to do? But you know, there was a solution. You know, she went to the man of God. She went to the man of God. And you know, you almost can see as she went to the man of God, there's a certain expectancy that somehow that need is going to be met somehow through the man of God. There was a certain expectancy. You know, the creditors are coming, and what is she going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Elisha. And there was a sense of expectancy. Now, why was there a sense of expectancy? Because of the promises of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians chapter 4. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. How could Paul say that to the Philippians? Because when there was the offering taken for the Jerusalem saints, what churches gave the most? Macedonian churches. And Philippi was one of the Macedonian churches. And Philippi was one of the few churches, even though they were very much people of poverty. And Wyatt is talking about a church in poverty, and that they had this great ability to give. And the Philippian church, they more than once supplied the needs of the great apostle Paul. And they were givers. They put God first. They sacrificed. And, you know, Paul says, you know, there is something that I want you to know, that there is an expectancy that comes when you put God first. Now, maybe you don't need anything. Maybe everything is fine. Maybe, you know, maybe the checkbook has money in it. Maybe there's money in the bank and all of that. But for this family, they were at the end of the line. There was nothing that they could do humanly to meet their needs. And yet, within that great need, there was an expectancy that God was going to meet their needs somehow. And the reason they were able to have that expectancy was because they were a people who put God first. You know, right living has a whole lot to do with faith. Right living, right priorities, has a whole lot to do with faith. A lot of people, they think that faith is something that you drum up with some good CCM rock music and, you know, get all stirred up and, you know, get a little feely thinking. No, you know, that's a new brand of Christianity. But the Bible brand of Christianity is that faith is directly related to right living. And so we find this expectancy of faith. And so she goes to Elisha. And verse 2, and Elisha said, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" Notice, as we go through this, I see a second thing. I see there is a reception of faith. There's a receptivity of faith. Elisha is going to tell her to do something that's pretty preposterous. He's going to tell her that what she's supposed to do is send her boys out into the neighborhood and collect all the empty pots she can find, they can find. Now, you know how kids are, right? And you tell them to do something that's a little bit crazy. There could easily be a little bit of resistance, right? And, you know, they're going to go to the neighbor's house and they're going to say, "Hey, I want all the empty pots you have because we're going to get them all filled up with oil." You know, maybe they wouldn't say it exactly that way, but it's pretty preposterous. But, you know, what I notice here is a receptivity to the message, to the means, to the method that Elisha has. Not a question. We don't have a question. We don't have an objection. We find a reception. Oh, okay. No problem. Let's do it. You know, and of course, Elisha, his word represents the word of God. Faith receives the truth of the word of God. Faith is anxious to get a message from God. That's why she went to Elisha. She was anxious to get a message from God. You know, that's why we ought to be reading our Bible. We ought to go to our Bible anxiously looking for a message from the Lord. And find out what God has for us to do. There was a receptivity of faith. And so we see her response. But notice he said to her, "What do you have in your house?" Now, I suppose that most of us, there's something in our cupboards. And there's something in our freezers. And there's something, you know, down in the fruit cellar, if you know what the old-fashioned fruit cellar was, where you did canning and et cetera. But, you know, there's only one thing left in the house, a pot of oil. Now, a pot of oil. That one thing represented all she had. Now, if you had just a nickel, that's all you had left. Well, that doesn't get much today. But if you had just a nickel, that's all you had, would you give it up? You know, Hudson Taylor tells about the story that he was raised in a wealthy home. He had the ability to go to medical college. And he was thinking, you know, if I go to China, I'm going to have some faith. And living, you know, as a rich man and living in a from a wealthy home and having the money to go to college and to go to schooling, back in those days, that was really something, to be able to go to college. So he says, you know, I'm going to have to learn how to have some faith. He says, I know what I need to do is I need to move to the slum area of town. And I need to learn how to live off of nothing. And so he purposely went to the poor section of town. And he purposely had it so that he had very little income. And one day, he met a family because of his medical training that they were very, very poor. And I can't remember what the situation was. They were very poor. They needed a couple shillings to get some medicine for their children. Maybe you can tell the story correctly later. But they looked at Hudson Taylor and they looked like they didn't have just a couple shillings. That's all we need is a couple shillings. Well, the problem was Hudson Taylor had a crown in his pocket. And I don't know how many shillings a crown is, but I'm guessing 500 or something like that. I'm just guessing, but a lot more than a couple shillings. And so he's saying into himself, you know, it's a ways from the end of the month or the beginning of the month when I get my next allotment. And the only coin I have is a crown. And if I give up this crown, I mean, they don't really need the whole crown, but I don't have any change. And so if I get the whole crown, I'm going to have to spend the rest of the month without anything. He was forced to that place where he had to give all that was left. And he did. And he met the need of this family and more. And I don't remember how the Lord provided for him, but he did. But he was faced with giving up all that he had. You know, isn't it kind of interesting in the Bible? We have the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents, right? Which person didn't use what they had for the Lord? The one with 10? The one with 5, or the one with 1? The one with 1. The person who had the least was the more difficult for the person with the least to give anything to God. Now that is maybe some kind of commentary on human frailty, but it is interesting as I watch people that many times the person who doesn't surrender their life to the Lord is the person who says, "I don't have a lot to give." They don't have a lot to give. The person with the one talent, the person with the one pound. And they wouldn't invest their life. They wouldn't invest what they had for the Lord. But it's interesting that in this journey of faith, God brings us to a place of the surrender of all that we have. The surrender of all that we have. I mean, it was just a little pot of oil, but it still represented all she had and all she could cling to. And God said, the prophet says, I want to use that. I want to use that pot of oil. God wants to use the little that we have, and he wants us to surrender it to him. Then he says, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now here we have the action of faith. How many vessels they were going to borrow was going to be a direct reflection of how much faith they had in God's provision. Just like the king, when the prophet said, strike the ground with I think it was your bow, strike the ground. And he only struck the ground three times. And the prophet was upset. He says, you should have struck the ground seven times. He only struck it three times. It was symbolical of his lack of faith. But there was this this principle of the action of faith is going to be declared by what we do, how much we do. Well, if you knock on 10 doors and you give up, well, maybe you're going to go soul winning, you're going to knock on 3 doors. And each one you say, I hope nobody's home. And the third one, nobody's home. And so you say, I'm off the hook. Or what about the person who says, I'm going to keep going until I find somebody home. I'm going to keep going until I have a reception. I mean, there's two kinds of faith. And here, the faith was exemplified by their action. And the action was, and this is directly going to be proportionate to the blessing and to the provision. Now, let's face it. I think it was quite a lot of faith that these young men would go out and they would be gathering all these. Now we see the end of the story and we say, man, you ought to, go to the next town, right? Go to the next town and go to the next town and go to the next town. It's easy for us to say that. But they didn't see the results yet. And they were just acting by faith and they were going out and they were getting all the jars that they could, all the vessels they could. And it was quite an action of faith. They were going. They were going to go out and they were going to do something. You know, faith has real action. I wonder what kind of action do we need to have in our life? What do we need to do? You know, that faith might be just standing up and taking your stand for the Lord. That action might be like the people of Israel stepping their foot into the Red Sea. There's an action that God calls us to do. And so we find the faith in action. I think this is interesting. He says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. Now, if this was a tele-evangelist, they wouldn't shut the door. If this was a televangelist, they would get a camera and they would invite and they would make sure that this was on live stream. But God said, shut the door. You know, I'd say there is a secrecy of faith. Sometimes faith is lost when other people know about it. Sometimes faith is lost when we are more interested in telling other people what we did by faith or what we're going to do by faith. The secrecy of faith really has to do with the glory of the Lord. You know, God wants the glory. He doesn't want us to get the glory. He doesn't want us to broadcast, you know, I got great faith. I want you all to know I have great faith. And He doesn't want us to put the focus on ourselves. He wants to get all the glory. And so He said, shut the door. Shut the door. This is between you and I. The secrecy of faith. And you might be at that real place in your life where there's a big step of faith that you need to take. Don't tell anybody. Just do it. Don't go broadcasting this big step of faith. Just let that between you and the Lord, and let Him get the glory. So I want you to shut the door. And verse 5, and they shut the door, and the sons brought the vessels, and she poured out. Now, can you imagine? She's got this little pot of oil. Now they got the vessels there. She says, son, bring some vessels. Bring them in the house now. And she's going to take the pot oil. And now the real test is going to come, right? I mean, when she pours out the oil, is the pot of oil going to be empty? The 4-ounce pot oil, will it be empty when she pours out 4 ounces? Or will it still keep flowing? Right? Will it still keep flowing? Will what God said was going to happen, is it going to really happen? You know, faith is based on truth. Faith is based on God. Faith is based on a truthful God. Faith is based on the character of God. Faith is based on the promises of God. You know, faith just isn't nebulous. But you know, faith always comes to a point where it is blind faith, isn't it? You know, when you get saved, there was a promise that Christ died for all your sins. And that if you would turn from your sin and you would call upon Him, you would be saved. And there was that moment in your soul that you were taking all your sin and you were placing them on Christ. How did you know He's going to save you? How did you know you're going to be born again? You never were born again before. You'd never been saved before. You had to take God at His word. You had to step out. And there was a stepping out. There's a stepping out in faith, a total dependence on God. A total dependence on God that is results in some kind of action, whatever it is. But here there was action. They were going to take the jar of oil and they were going to pour it. And every vessel that came, they're going to pour it out and they would see if it would come out again. Every vessel came, they're going to pour it out and see if it came again. They're going to, every vessel again came, they're going to see if it was poured out again. What was the result of their faith? Well, notice it says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Well, there wasn't any more need of any more miracle, was there? There weren't any more vessels. Now, we'd think about this family now. They have all these pots of oil. What did they do with them? Did they go sell them and then go to Disneyland? Did they sell them and take a big, long vacation? Did they sell them and have a big party? I don't think so. I think they had just enough to live on. They had just enough to live on. They had just enough to live a frugal life till the drought was over, until times changed, but God provided just what they needed. You see, faith was God's provision, but faith also has sobriety with it. Faith has responsibility with it. Faith has a sense that this is what God has given me. I'm going to be careful with it. They still were trusting God. They didn't know how long they were going to need that. They were going to need to be able to live. But God says, no, I'm going to give you, you sell all those pots, that'll be just what you need to be able to get through. I think they had to have a budget. I think they had to be careful. I think that their needs were met, but there was no place for frivolousness. There was no place for wasting money. There was no place for, living with just a flippant lifestyle. God's provision. You know, sometimes God's provision, God provides for us and we throw it away. And then we say, well, God, didn't you provide for me? Well, he provided all we needed. But, you know, we threw some of it away. Life of faith. It's a great blessing to be able to trust God for big things. You know, it's a great thing to be able to trust God for little things. You know, I think I learned more about faith. I learned a lot of faith, about faith from little things. And times that you're able to trust God for little things really are a great part of your life. I remember that probably one of the greatest times of faith was when I was in seminary. We had a budget. And we figured out the budget, and that the budget was we had $25 more of expenses a month than income. Our food budget was $12 a week. Our electric and gas budget was, I think it was $15, $17 a month. We had a telephone that we were allowed to make five or ten calls a month. We had this plan figured out. We would call Tonda's sister. We'd call and we let it ring once and we hang up. They knew it was us. Then they'd call us back. Because we only had like 5 or 10 calls a month that we could make on that phone. But you know, it was a blessing. It was a blessing when one day the president of the seminary said, the canning factory over wherever had these great big cans of pork and beans. And they're available for $1. And you know, I don't know how many we got, but man, I had pork and bean tacos for lunch. And we had pork and beans and onions. And we had pork and beans and little scraps of hot dogs. And we had pork and beans and little scraps of meat. And man, that was exciting because the Lord had provided. I remember the day we walked down the street. And there was this, I think it was an English walnut tree. Not a black walnut tree, English walnut. You know, those are the kind that taste good. And we went by this house, and all these nuts were sitting around, you know. And I said to Tana, go ask this lady if we can pick up the nuts. You know, and she came back the next day and said, the lady said we could pick up as many as we want. And I said, whoa, praise the Lord. You know, you never forget the little things when you don't have a lot. Because when you don't have a lot, there's a God who can provide for your needs. And there is a God who wants to teach us faith. And there is a God who responds to faith. And the Christian life is to be a life of faith. That means that everybody that's here tonight, you are in a place right now, there ought to be some decision that you are making by faith to go forward. There should be some decision in your life to go forward. Some decision that will bring you to greater surrender, greater sacrifice, greater self-denial, greater availability, greater obedience. You know, it's amazing how people go to a place of less sacrifice, less obedience, less self-denial, less commitment, and say, we're following the Lord. I don't believe it. The Lord is always calling us by faith to go to higher ground. Now, I wonder, let's see, how many young people do we have here under the age of 11 that are saved? Raise your hand. You're saved and you're under the age of 11. Okay, good. All right. What decision of faith are you going to make this week? You know what? If you're saved, you're as much on the way to heaven as me. Did you know that? You aren't more, I'm not more saved than you. You're saved, I'm saved, right? That means you have as much salvation as I do. You have as much of God as I do. God's called every Christian to a life of faith. You need to make a decision of faith. That's how you grow. Okay? How many young people we have under the age of, let's say, 16 that are saved? Six. What was the last category? 11. Huh? 11. Okay, 16 to 11. Raise your hand. Okay, you're 16 to 11 and you're saved. All right, good. Yeah, we had some boys that had a 15th birthday today. Okay? And you know what? What decision are you going to make by faith? And then another question, what decision did you make last week by faith? What decision did you make to obey God because He said so? What decision did you make to do right because God said so? You couldn't figure it out, but God said it, and you just said, okay, I'm going to obey it by faith. Now, we could apply that to how many people under 99 are here that are saved? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. I figured I'd include everybody with that one. Okay, what decision of faith are we going to make? What decision of trusting God, obeying His word, depending upon Him, expecting Him to do what He says He's going to do? What is it? You know, it's by faith we make these decisions. You know, what does the world say? You invite somebody to church and the world says, no promises. Well, that's really a lie, isn't it? Because most of those people, at least some of them, they have a mortgage. They promise to pay back the mortgage, right? Some of them have a credit card and they signed that they were going to pay the credit card bill. And some of them have taken on a job. And they promised their employer that they would come to work every day. How is it that, you know, we make all these commitments in life, but when it comes to spiritual things, we don't make commitments? If there's any area of life that we should make commitments, it's the spiritual realm, because the spiritual realm is a life of faith that always involves going forward, making commitments, making decisions, trusting God. Faith. Maybe the decision is a simple one like witnessing. A decision to witness. Open your mouth and witness. You know, I don't know if you figured that out, but it doesn't happen by accident. It usually is a decision of faith. Yesterday, there was a guy who came to the nursery, and I haven't been involved in that almost none. And this guy comes, and I was hoping I didn't have to wait on them. I didn't really want to, but everybody was gone. And the Lord had been working in my heart, and yesterday morning I the Lord getting me back on the track. And, I prayed yesterday morning. I said, Lord, now I really need a witness to someone today. So this fellow comes to the nursery, and he has... good number of tattoos. I mean, he's got them all over, you know, and a few other decorations. And he and his girlfriend, I don't know if his wife, they come there. And so we got talking to him. And he has this tattoo in Japanese or Chinese or something. I says, do you know what that says? And he says, no, it's supposed to be my initials, but I don't know if it is or not. And so we got, we got talking about his new tattoo that he's going to put over this other one that he doesn't know what it says, you know. And to make a long story short, started to talk to him about the Lord. And I could just see his girlfriend nodding. I know for sure I'm saved. And I wondered why she was hooked up with him, but obviously she had been witnessing to him and really was an answer to her prayer that somebody else was witnessing to him. But every decision that we make in life is one that we make by faith. Whether it's a little one or it's a big one. It's a commitment that we make to God. This is what I am going to do because you said so. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do right. And I'm trusting God that I'm going to do right because I need to make this change in my life. Faith is a key to life. Maybe need to make some decisions about vacation Bible school this week. Maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're a helper. And you say, you know what? I don't want to just go to vacation Bible school and be a helper. I need to go to vacation Bible school and I need to make some decisions for God. How about it, Matthew? You're coming to vacation Bible school. You need to come to Vacation Bible School and you need to say to the Lord, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart because I want to make some decisions for you this week. That'd be a good step of faith, wouldn't it? That's something you can do, can't you? And you know, you make a decision of faith. Guess what? There's always results when you make decisions of faith. Always results when you make decisions of faith. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight that we can be challenged and reminded that life is full of opportunities of faith. Full of opportunities to trust you for something that we cannot do ourselves. To trust you to go to higher ground. To trust you, whether it's in provision, whether it's, Lord, in the promise, whatever it is. And now, Lord, help us to be people of faith tonight. Help dads to make some decision of faith, to be the spiritual leader of their family. And to make the commitment, Lord, don't be wavering, but to jump off the cliff for God, and to give themselves to be what they want, that you want them to be. Help them to make big decisions of faith, Lord. Work in children this week, even tonight, to give themselves by faith to you, to go forward for you, and to see you work in their lives. And so now as we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to you. Perhaps even in this message, somewhere along the line, there's this decision of faith. And you haven't yet sealed it with the Lord. Right now, you ought to. It's not how you feel. It's about what's right. It's not about, you know, some great big 2x4 on top of your head. It's a little small voice of the Spirit of God. And by faith, you're going to make that decision for God. And you're going to trust Him. You're going to jump off the limb and let Him take care of you and work it all out. And while our heads are bowed, you've done some business with the Lord. Maybe there's yet business to be done with the Lord. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I did some business with God tonight. Or maybe you're going to raise your hand and say, you know what? I got business I need to do with God tonight. And I need to have faith. I need to decide by faith to trust Him, to obey Him. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. The Lord is working in my life tonight about faith. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Number of different hands. Okay. Praise the Lord. Others? Okay. Great to see young people responding. All right. Good. All right. Amen. How about you? We're not looking for an emotion. We're looking for a decision to trust God. Okay. I see that hand. Anyone else? All right. Good. Okay, I see that hand as well. That decision to just to surrender it to the Lord. Anyone else? Okay, can put that hand down. Waiting for the next person. Say, Lord, by faith, I'm going to obey you. By faith, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Okay? Lord, we thank you for, Lord, what could be the great start of Vacation Bible School? Young people deciding that by faith, they're going to ask you to work in their hearts. And other important decisions. And Lord, we're looking to the God of heaven to do what is the greatest thing in and around our lives. Your work. Whatever it is. And I pray that even tonight, those who are still yet maybe struggling, I pray that there would be victory tonight as they by faith yield to thee, by faith surrender to thee, by faith they trust you for that very thing. By faith, Lord, take care of that action in which they will allow you to work through. So we pray you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.